This is Suzanne Anderson.
And I'm Brian Bradley.
We are speaking out for lesbian and gay voices.
But with less time this week, so I guess we better just jump right into it, huh?
Hit it.
Hit it. Okay, I've got a fax here from the good Reverend Fred Phelps, who says, another filthy media fag has died of AIDS and split hell wide open. Randy Schiltz of And the Band Played On Fame.
He keeps saying those nasty things. He's going to find out what hell's all about on a first-person basis.
Well, as a matter of fact, I had a Pentecostal minister ask me last week, would I be willing to drive to Topeka to protest this man? I said, I would go to the end of the world to do it. Yes, he and a group of folks got on the plane in Topeka, spent thousands of dollars, flew to San Francisco for Randy's funeral, and were there less than 1 minute after a crowd of 100 or more gays and lesbians pelted them with eggs and rotten bananas and such. So I hope he got some frequent flyer miles out of it at least.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm telling you. It's a mess. It's a mess.
Women are still treated as second-class citizens by the security industry, according to a recent study. What a surprise. According to the findings, male investors are more extensively interviewed as to their goals and objectives. The range of available investments are more thoroughly discussed with men, and male visitors are six times as likely as women to be invited to open an account. The survey brokers, 79% of whom were white males, felt that women would be confused by explanations of finance. Well, now let's listen to some statistics. Women compose 37% of the nation's shareholders, account for 44% of individuals who control more than $500,000 in assets, and they own 30% of small businesses. The biased brokers might have missed out on a few very hefty commissions.
Well, I guess Suzanne Anderson Properties won't be contacting them anytime soon, will they?
Absolutely not. Okay, listeners, who has the largest gay parade in the world?
Sydney.
Australia.
You knew. Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
That's right. 500,000, led by Dykes on Bikes. Anyway, I thought this was kind of interesting. The Mardi Gras Gay Parade began in 1978 as a protest against the oppression of homosexuals in Australia. The parade caps a month-long series of Mardi Gras events, which organizers say bring $28.4 million into Sydney.
You know, listen in Colorado, listen in Florida.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Talking about the power of gay people, it seems as if the new governor of Virginia, George Allen, is opposed to making it easier for low-income Virginians to get housing loans because he says that the changes would encourage homosexual and unmarried couples to live together. In a letter, Allen has argued that the plan would change long-standing policy in Virginia as it relates to the definition of family. They still stuck on that family thing, but we know that the majority of this money for these housing projects for the states come through HUD, and I've heard it in person and had Roberta Achtenberg back me up when we had our little HOPA funds here dispersed. They will allow us to define who families are. And so this is all a bunch of hot air. So I would imagine all of those needy gays and lesbians in Virginia will be flocking to the housing office sometime next week. And once again, it's another good reason why we elected President Clinton.
Speaking of hot air, I can't think of a better introduction to this next article. Rush Limbaugh. We aren't the only ones that are boycotting orange juice. The National Federation of Business and Professional Women's Club have also called for a boycott of Florida citrus. The reason being, Limbaugh ridicules women.
Well, since we're on the subject of hot air, let's just stay there. For the second time in 2 weeks, the Pope, John Paul II, has urged the rejection of a February 8th resolution by the European Parliament calling on member nations to extend legal marriage rights to same-sex couples and allow them to adopt children. Once again, we have a celibate 70-something-year-old man telling gays and lesbians, straight people that are married, people that have, you know, jobs, that don't live in a palace, how to run their lives. When are we going to get rid of this character?
I don't think he's really celibate. I don't think anybody's really celibate. We just don't know who he's whatever.
I doubt anyone's sleeping with him.
You think not?
I mean, he can't even keep his feet out of the hem of his skirt.
Oops. A new national magazine for people infected with the HIV virus is featuring Senator Barry Goldwater's grandson as an HIV-positive sex symbol. Ty Ross, 31, of Scottsdale, Arizona, was photographed naked and talked frankly about his HIV status in an interview for the debut issue of PAWS. That's capital P, capital O, capital Z.
How come I never got to do any media like that?
It may be too late.
I'm always being told, put my clothes on. Don't take them off.
Okay, now this was a surprise to me. Probably the rest of you homosexuals are very aware of this, but I didn't know that David Brock, remember him? He's that staunch conservative who first broke the Troopergate story involving President Clinton's alleged extramarital affairs in Arkansas, is a homosexual.
Well, surprise, surprise.
I didn't know that. I guess everybody else did. Apparently went to a convention and talked, obviously not about his homosexuality, but also there was a researcher by the name of Paul Cameron. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Paul Cameron. He told the Washington Post that gays, by definition, cannot lead productive lives economically or sexually. Because of this, he said, Brock should have stayed in the closet. Furthermore, he says that the average lifespan of gays is 39 years. 37% of gays engage in sadomasochism. Gays perpetrate between a third and half of all child molestations, and 17% of gays ingest human feces. Where did this man get all of this?
He got that from Pat Robertson's 700 Club. That's take number 424.
That is such...
Well, he might be right about one thing. The average gay doesn't want to live past 39 or something.
Okay, and a really, really good article this week that Marley Ivins wrote. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about State Representative Warren Chisholm of Pampa. He is that well-known crusader against homosexuality who also happens to be an investor in death futures. According to Molly, he told the Houston Post last month that profits on death futures run up to 27%, a rate of return, which apparently covers all of his Christian scruples. Chisholm now owns life insurance policies on 6 aid victims, a $200,000 investment. According to him, he said, my gamble is that it'll make less than 17%, that it will not make less than 17%, and sometimes considerably better. If they die in a month, you know, you do really good. Chisholm has voted, in case you all have forgotten, against expanding foster care for babies with AIDS and has a variety of other programs to help AIDS victims. He even opposed the hate crimes bill because it would cover gays, and he opposed sex education because most sex education they're trying to teach about a homosexual lifestyle. I thought the best comment she made was her last comment when she said, different Christians have different standards, of course. For myself, I'd rather die of AIDS than report to my maker after doing what Warren Chisholm is doing.
All right. Good golly, Miss Molly. One more time. Well, today is the day after St. Patrick's Day, and I'm wearing green today because I didn't wear it yesterday. I was in protest of all the cities that won't allow gays and lesbians to participate in their St. Patrick's Day march. Sad to report, the city of Boston, probably one of the most Irish cities in America, will not be having a parade whatsoever this year. And the reason is a group of gay and lesbians applied to the Supreme Court Justice David Souter, can you say, in the closet queer, and he backed them up, saying that a fundamental right to free speech and expression would be abridged if they were not allowed in the parade. So the Hibernians and the other organizers of Boston's parade said, well, in that case, we'll just cancel it. So another American tradition bites the dust because they don't want us there. So maybe next year we'll have a gay and lesbian St. Paddy's Day parade, and we won't let them in.
You know what I find absolutely fascinating is there's a pecking order with minorities and oppressed people. You know, that it hasn't been that many years ago that the Irish were the oppressed people. You know, that they were drunks. They were not, you know, they were lazy. That was the perception. They have come out of that, and now they can step on people. I'm not impressed. This is Suzanne Anderson.
And Brian Bradley.
We are Speaking Out for Gay and Lesbian Voices.